Instant Inspiration. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing. Our topic today is a long one as usual, those who require the most from themselves see everyone else expressing their finest and best. Those who require the most from themselves see everyone else expressing their finest and best. Isn't that interesting? Oftentimes, those who require the most from themselves see others doing less than the job that they're doing, see others doing a job that is not as adequate as they're doing. And that's quite interesting. Now, why would they see other people doing a job that's not quite as adequate as they're doing? Why would they see that? They would see that because they are not really doing the job themselves. They're really not living the job themselves. Now you say, but they're doing well. They're doing a beautiful job. Yes, that's true. If I am a concert pianist and I play on stage regularly, and then I go home and bat about on the piano, making a few mistakes, making a few errors, and just doing what I want to do, not caring. What do I think of somebody else? What do I think of somebody else and what they're doing? You see, so long as I give my very best at all times, I always see others giving their best at all times. Whenever I am giving less than my best, I argue, I complain, I look at others and see faults in them. You can be sure, if you are ever picking on somebody else, ever if you're picking on somebody else, it's because you're not giving your best. You're using it as an excuse for not doing your best. And we don't ever look at the work anyone else does and judge. We just look at the work we do and determine that that is what's important. That's important for us to do and important for us to follow on. Now, are you ready for such a thing like that? Are you ready to stand up for such a circumstances like that? If you are, then you're wonderful. But if you're not, then you're just like a normal, ordinary person who looks at the faults of others and uses that as an excuse for not doing a good job themselves. Well, everybody else is doing poorly. Everybody else is wearing their bad clothes, or everybody else wearing their good clothes, or everybody else is going to the show. Everybody else is going to hell. Like my dad always said, he didn't care if the rest of the world was going to hell. He wasn't going to have his kids going to hell. He was standing right behind them with his finest and his best. And I guess that's one of the things about my dad. He always did his best. No matter whether the job was an insignificant job, a job around the house, or a job for some high-quality client, he always did his best. And his word was always his bond. He always stood behind. He built some little shacks up in northern Wisconsin on some spare land that he picked up there. And they weren't shacks. They were exquisite dwellings, with every brick, block, and stone in place, with every piece of wood chosen to match as best he could. He didn't go spending a lot of money, but he matched what he had. He took the various boards for the floor, you know, the hardwood for the floor, and he tried to make it flow in a pattern or in a harmony. And he didn't tell anybody. He just picked the wood and he made the wood. He'd saw a little here and saw a little there, so the grain would sort of flow through the floor. And when he got done, it was really a quite attractive floor. Nobody wanted to put a carpet down because the floor looked so nice. But that's doing it to your best. He didn't go out and spend a lot of money. He didn't go out and buy special wood. He just bought normal wood, and then he did with the normal wood his very best. We too can do with the normal things we have to work with our very best. We too can be exquisite. We too can be wonderful. Now, I'm speaking my word now, and I'm standing behind it, and it will not be changed. I told Sylvia to take some pictures of the Hermitage after we had left, when the work is done, and put it in the GIST. And she said, well, I don't have a camera. I don't have a camera. And I said, well, here's the camera that came with Ingeborg's, Inga's Dell. You can use that. Oh, that's not perfect. That's not good. And I said, all right, I will see that you have a nice camera. So I'm giving her my Sony so that she will have that to take the one picture or two inside the Hermitage and outside to put into the GIST. And I will be without a picture, without a camera, all throughout the seminar in Europe and in Africa and so forth, just because she had to have the best. She couldn't use what she had. She wanted what I had. Now, if we had no other cameras except that, she would be just fine. And if we would just use the, what are those other cameras that we have? If we just use those other cameras that we had taken all over the world with us, taking pictures, which were just beautiful, and had nothing else, she would want that. And it's just like Ingeborg. When I told Ingeborg, we have four of these things here for the Olympuses. Recorded, thank you. Ingeborg says, well, I want mine. I want my plug, and I want my this, and I want my that. And I thought to myself, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Somebody's cruising for a fall. You don't want nothing. You don't need nothing. You're not going to do one solitary thing with this gadget on your computer. You will not. Because it takes a lot of talent to do it. And I haven't even learned all the things yet to do. And Ellen is struggling with it right now, doing all the things and taking the time to do it. And if you want to take the time to sit around and do this thing, that, you got rocks in your head. But you see, Sylvia's going in to have her teeth fixed, so I want my teeth fixed. Ingeborg went in to have her teeth fixed. Now, so Sylvia wants her teeth fixed. Ellen went in to have her teeth fixed, so Sylvia wants her teeth fixed, and Ingeborg wants her teeth fixed. I went in to have my teeth fixed, and I had an implant, and so then Ellen wanted an implant. In fact, Ellen went to great lengths to get the implant. She had surgery done in preparation for it wonderfully, but because the implant was in her consciousness. Now, if there was no implant, if there was no idea of that, she wouldn't even think of that. She would just go with whatever was the normal procedure to do it. But you see, once we have these little glimmers there, we possess it, we want it. And instead of saying, I go to have my highest and best, we don't. We go with, Sylvia's got it, Inga's got it, Herb's got it, Ellen's got it, I want it. Remember when Anita got her glasses? The boys wanted to have glasses too. They didn't need glasses. We took them in so they could have their eyes checked. And they didn't need glasses, but at least they had their eyes checked. It cost us money. But I went to the expense because it made them happy. You understand? I took them in. I told them we're going to get you all new clothes. And so we took them in. We took them into a thrift shop. And we let them go through the thrift shop. And we said, now, you each get $100. That's a lot of money. You each get $100. Now, you can spend it at the thrift shop and get a lot of things, or you can go buy pennies and you can get one or two things. So they went to the thrift shop and they bought a complete wardrobe. They bought suits with vests and pants and cowboy boots and ties. And they just had a ball. See, but they forget that. They forget that because they think that Patrick had done that or somebody else had done that. They didn't know that was what I had chosen for them. But that's okay. That's okay. But you see, I don't need the credit. I don't need the credit. These other people who got the credit, they needed it. You see, when you need these things, then you're out humping away for it. Now, you told me in front of Sylvia that you wanted it against the wall. You told me before Sylvia came in, you wanted it against the wall. And then when it came to telling me in front of Ellen, who you respect and who you honor and who you want to do everything she wants you to do, you all of a sudden didn't want it against the wall anymore. You didn't care. You see, the dream you had of having that as your studio, as your office, as your place of work, because who knows? We might have moved the entire mailroom in there. And then you would have that whole thing for your mailroom and your thing, and then this room would become available for whatever, you know. But, hush, the point is, stand up for yourself. Do your very best. And don't grovel in front of people. You're still kissing people's shoes, kissing their feet, and that's not good. That's not good because that's not doing your very best. That's not expressing your very highest and your best. And when you do that, then you want other people to kiss your feet too. And that's no good. And let's hope it never comes to kissing your butt. Because I tell you, you would not be here very long. Those who require the most from themselves see everyone else expressing their finest and best. I see Ellen expressing her finest and best. I see our friend
Fernando
expressing his highest and best. And I see you expressing your highest and best. And I see Sylvia expressing her highest and best, and Art and Joshua expressing their highest and best. I see all of you. But I have trouble seeing you expressing your highest and best when you belittle yourself. And you belittle yourself every time you don't stand up for whatever it is you have chosen to do. And it doesn't matter how important or unimportant it is, but always stand up for what you choose to do. Those who require the most of themselves, see everyone else expressing their finest and their best. And that's kind of nice, isn't it? Now, we've had a bit of a dialogue about you and about Sylvia and about Ellen and about me and about everybody. And in no way are we saying they're not their highest and their best. But what we're saying is sometimes that they're just a little weak. And don't be weak. Stand up for it. Because it's better to be kicked in the butt and told you're wrong than to have no opinion at all. You understand? You understand? Because if you have no opinion at all, then you're nothing but a pawn on somebody else's chessboard, and you have no life of your own. And I assure you, Ingeborg, if I may call you Inga, I assure you that you're a queen from the top down, and that's all I ever see you as. And I see Ellen as a queen, and Sylvia as a queen, and me as the king, and Button and Love as the kings, you know. But do you see yourself that way? So, yeah, miss me, you know. See yourself that way. See yourself that way. Because it only takes your attention at seeing yourself that way to experiencing. Those who require the most from themselves see everyone else expressing their finest and best. It's not that you see yourself better than anybody else. It's that you see everybody else super, which means you got to be super to be able to see them super. Verstehen? Mm-hmm. Amen.